Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the, see that? The apostasy comes first. Now watch this. Here's another definite article. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. You see the definite article in front of the noun apostasy? Do you see the definite article in front of the lawless one or the Antichrist? In other words, the two are held out parallel to each other. So to understand one, you have to understand the other. And let me ask you a question. How is the Antichrist going to come upon the scene? Is it going to be some kind of drawn-out long event? No, it's going to be instantaneous. Revelation 6, 1 and 2 talks about him coming forth when the first seal judgment is opened. He immediately comes forth, that rider on the white horse. Daniel 9, verse 27 talks about him immediately entering into a covenant with unbelieving Israel. So if the Antichrist's coming is not gradual but is immediate, and the definite article is in front of the Antichrist coming, then the apostasia has to be immediate as well. Do you see that? That would only be logical. And doctrinal apostasies, spiritual apostasies, spiritual departures from the faith, those are things that don't instantaneously happen. Those are generally gradual. The church at Ephesus had lost its first love. Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. But that was a process that took place over about 30 to 35 years. Because I can go back and read what Paul said to the church at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians, and he doesn't mention the fact that that church had lost its first love. So gradually over decades, the church had spiritually moved away from Christ. That's the nature of spiritual apostasies. But because Paul uses the definite article in front of the noun apostasy and in front of the man of lawlessness, what he's saying is just as the man of lawlessness is going to come suddenly, the apostasia is going to come suddenly. Now, what event do you know of in biblical history is going to come suddenly? The rapture. Doesn't 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52 say, in a moment. In fact, the Greek word translated moment is atomos, where we get the English word what? Atom, which is a particle that's so small it can't be divided. And it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. How long does it take you to blink your eye? Just a split second. That's the speed in which the rapture will occur. And so I think this definite article in front of apostasia communicates not a gradual event as you would have with a doctrinal departure, but an instantaneous event that fits the rapture. There's a fourth reason. There's the, by the way, the peace treaty that the Antichrist will enter into, and there's the first seal judgment communicating the instantaneous nature of the Antichrist's arrival. There's a fourth reason, though, why I think the evidence leans in favor of the physical departure interpretation of apostasia in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. And that has to do with this fact. Number four, the noun apostasia can refer to a physical departure. What people do is they go over to Acts 21, verse 21, where there it refers to a spiritual departure, and they think that's what it means everywhere. But what I'm saying is the noun apostasia has many different meanings. It can mean a spiritual departure in one part of the Bible and a physical departure in another part of the Bible. Here's a very famous lexicon called Liddell and Scott. And look at the entries that it has here for apostasia. Rebellion against God. Apostasy. Departure. Look at this next one. Disappearance. Distance. So the first two favor a doctrinal apostasy. The remaining three refer to a physical removal. You see that? And then you have, and of course, there we go. Then we have another lexicon called lamps. Yeah, lamps, patristic Greek lexicon. And notice the entries that it has for apostasia. Revolt, defection, apostasy from paganism, Judaism, Christianity, orthodoxy. Look at this next one, divorce, departure, standing aloof. So the first three entries favor a doctrinal understanding. The last three entries favor a physical understanding. H. Wayne House wrote a wonderful article on this, and he says this: the noun form allows for apostasia as a simple departure in the classical period, proved by examples from Liddell and Scott. If one says this is not important because the meaning is only classical or ancient and thus lost its meaning by the time of the New Testament, then I may turn to the same root meaning of apostasia in the patristic era immediately following the New Testament period, as indicated in the definitions of the noun form in Lamp's patristic Greek lexicon. Although the noun used in the sense of spatial departure is not the normal meaning, during the New Testament period, the word is found with this meaning in the time periods before and after the New Testament era, and is likely to have been understood that way at least sometimes. Here's the deal. Apostasia can mean a physical departure before the New Testament was written. It could also mean a physical departure after the New Testament was written. That's what those two lexicons reveal. And so if it can mean that before the New Testament era and after the New Testament era, then why can't the word have the same meaning during the New Testament era? You follow? Because what people say is, well, the word had that meaning before the New Testament era, and then it lost its meaning, and then it regained it after the New Testament era, which to my mind doesn't make sense. I really can't think of an example where a word has a meaning, loses its meaning, and regains its meaning. So very clearly, this noun, apostasia, at the time the New Testament was written, can mean a physical departure. In fact, there's a related word, apostasion, used of divorce in Matthew 5, verse 31. It's the word translated, a certificate of divorce. Now, when two people get a divorce, what happens to them? They physically remove from each other, don't they? And I think that's what Paul is saying. Paul is talking about a physical removal of the church from the earth in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. Now keep tracking with me on this. This takes me to number 5. Number 5, the fifth reason I lean in this direction, is the verb aphistemi can refer to a physical departure. One of the things to understand about words is they come from roots. And you can use a word in the noun form. You can also use the word in the form of a verb. The noun form is apostasia. The verbal form is aphistemi. We do this all the time. We say, Jane went on a run. There I'm using run as a noun. But then I turn around and I see Jane run, and I'm using the same word as a what? As a verb. There's a relationship between nouns and verbs coming from the same root. In fact, in my own lifetime, I've seen nouns become verbs. There was a guy that we had up for the United States Supreme Court in the 1980s named Robert Bork. I don't know if you remember him. And he was sort of shot down by the Senate Judiciary Committee. And so now when people want to shoot down a presidential nominee, they say, we need to bork such and such. So they took Robert Bork's name, a personal noun, and they turned it into a verb. You see that?